Start from scratch. I'm Kurt Sparks. Happy holidays. Excuse me for sounding the way I do. For the whole, Christmas holiday thus far, I've been sick. I haven't really had a voice. There's so much that I wanted to talk about, but I couldn't talk about it because you guys would not be able to hear me, and that just sucks. So I'm happy to be here. I know some of you guys may laugh, but yo, he sound crazy. Well, so what? I'm here doing what I do. Now, first and foremost, 2016. Let me just speak on 2016 real quick. We've lost so many people in the entertainment industry in 2016. It's been crazy. Now bust this, right? We lose a lot of people. We have lost a lot of people, I should say, before that. But what makes 2016 so significant is because Prince is gone. For me personally, Fife is gone. And now Princess Leia, Carrie Fisher, she's gone. Everybody's like really bugging out, what's really going on? But shout outs to Betty White and Morgan Freeman. No matter what, Betty White and Morgan Freeman is standing the test of time because right now they are still here. Now, people hearing this are going to say, well, look, 2016 ends in the next couple of days. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. But it's so funny. I'm telling you, Morgan Freeman and Betty White are not going anywhere. They're not going anywhere at all. And people, stop taking bets to find out when they're going to pass. All right? Just leave it alone. What makes it so dope is Morgan Freeman was just in a plane accident a couple days ago, and he survived it. They're not going nowhere. But I say all that to say also, just like they have staying power, we also have staying power as well. Now, we can't predict what God is going to do. We can't predict if you're leaving today, tomorrow, next week. We don't know what's going to happen. But if they have staying power, trust me, you also have staying power, and that's just what it is. So I hope everybody had a wonderful Christmas. My Christmas was pretty okay. Spent time with family. Shout out to my family, my extended family, North Carolina. We definitely had a great time. Like I said, I didn't have no voice, but I did have plenty of moonshine, and I had a lot to drink. But trust me, physically I was great. Just that my voice was just gone, and I couldn't even do the radio show. It Must Be Said. I don't know if you guys listen to the radio show, but I also do a radio show, It Must Be Said, on Skyhook Radio. It's on Tuesday, every Tuesday from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern. I couldn't even really do the radio show. You couldn't really hear my voice at all. And, it is what it is. We didn't even do the podcast. I just said, scratch the podcast, because I also do another podcast, Industry Cosign. I couldn't even do the podcast. My voice was so messed up. But anyway, I am here today to do Start From Scratch. And every Wednesday, regardless of how my voice was sounding, we got a feature, Miss Jasmine Duke. Now, I'm going to call her up, and hopefully she won't crack jokes on my voice or nothing like that. But let me dial her up here so I can give her a shout, and we can see what we're going to talk about today with Miss Jasmine Duke from, what's her website name again? I know she's going to kill me for not memorizing it. What's our website again? Female Condition. That's right. I almost said Femalocity. I don't know why. But thefemalecondition.com. I'm going to call up Miss Jasmine Duke right now, and we're going to see what's in store today with Miss Jasmine Duke. Let me holler at her real quick. See what's going on. Maybe she can do a lot more talking. I can save my voice. Who knows? She's going to probably be weird out by my voice.
Good afternoon, Mr. Sparks.
Ms. Duke, what's going on? How are you, Miss Lady?
I am doing well. How was your Christmas?
It sucked ass because I was sick. I lost my voice. I noticed it was gone from since last Friday, but I'm good. I mean, it's coming along, but I thought it would have been back by now, but I'm not even taking no medicine, no nothing. So I'm just here, just dealing with it. That's it.
Well, there's not much they can do anyways. I've still got this same cough, but if you go to the doctor, they're just going to tell you to head home, grab a cough drop on your way out, drink some fluid.
Yeah, I ain't going to the doctor. Screw the doctor. I'll just Google it. Google is the best doctor out. That's it.
Is it really?
I don't know. I mean, that's where I diagnosed myself for having different issues. That's it. So I just go to Google. Everybody else go to Google. So why not?
I don't know that they go to Google as their doctor, but if that's how you're feeling, I don't want to hold you back.
Well, no, I ain't thinking about them. I'm just worrying about myself. I mean, I've been doing it. I just don't admit going to Google. I just keep it to myself. How was your Christmas?
It was good. I'm still in Minnesota, so I've had a lot of opportunity to be with my family. Pretty much all my family's here, so I've just been going from house to house, eating free meals, seeing all the children. Everybody's getting big, having babies, so just been enjoying the family time.
Wait a minute. You said everybody's having babies. You're not expecting, are you?
No.
Okay, good. So don't rush. Don't rush. Don't rush. You're still young. Don't rush.
So I hear pregnancy is like one of those cause effect things where you like have to do something first to get pregnant.
There you go. There you go. That's right. No, you're too focused right now. Dude, just worry about other things. There you go.
Yeah, no. I would like at some point I will create little humans. Just not today.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. I wonder if like women really look at stuff like that? Like, okay, well, I'm 25. I should start creating when I'm this age, or maybe I should have started already. Like, do women look at stuff like that?
Hell yeah. So first of all, I don't know what it is about women. I blame our hormones personally. There's something in your body that once you hit like 24-ish, 24, 25, at least for me, I felt like all of a sudden there was just this voice in my head that was like, you should get married. You should have babies. You should get married. You should have babies. And for me, I was just kind of, you know, it's like, you've got that voice, but you've also got, like, the other voice being like, bitch, you know you're busy. Where are you going to put a baby in here? Like, we don't got money for that right now.
Exactly.
But yeah, I do. I think we definitely have that vibe. And I do, I mean, when I hold the babies, or, like, especially my niece. So my niece is about to be 6, and she is so smart and so fun. And so it's like when I spend a lot of one-on-one time with her, it does make me feel like, oh, man, like I could buy a house and have a baby and do this. But at the other hand, I mean, it's also a lot of work
right, to
be with kids all the time. So, and I feel pretty firm that I'd like to have a husband before it'd be nice to have a partner to help you.
So, wait, you want to do the husband thing before the baby thing, because you know how, you know, you got some real powerful independent women that's like, look, I want the baby, forget the husband and the boyfriend part, I just want the child.
No, maybe if I was older, I guess, and if I was older and I'm not at the time where I can't have kids anymore, like I still have plenty of years. So I guess if I was getting to the end of like my viability to have a child and I still hadn't met someone I wanted to spend my life with, then maybe I would think about it differently. But as it stands today, I would like very much to be in a partnership and raise my kids as part of that partnership. Like, I was raised by a single dad, and I wouldn't trade how I was raised, but at the same time, I think that two-parent, you know, the two-parent partnership is definitely ideal. And I would want to be married because I'd want us all to have the same last name.
Do you think, like, being raised by a single dad is something that's hereditary? And I say that because there's lots of times where, like, say if you came from a household where your mom was abused, more than likely you or maybe some of your other female siblings probably will grow up in another relationship of your own where you're abused. So do you think something like that's hereditary?
I don't know. I think part of why I've been so cautious about, I mean, I obviously am 31. I have no kids. I've never been married. I've been very light. I mean, on how I've made my commitments. And I think part of that decision is definitely because, you know, I've watched so many families and relationships around me crumble. So I'm just very cautious about getting myself into something permanent, like a child or a marriage.
Right.
But no, and my parents were married. So my dad and my mom met, they married, they fell in love. My mom actually has a pretty severe form of clinical depression.
Right.
Which actually means that her brain does not produce enough chemical for her to be like a balanced, stable person every day.
Right.
And they didn't realize that until late into their marriage, and actually my mom decided that she didn't want to be married anymore, so she divorced my dad. So in my dad and both my parents' defense, you know, they had every intention of being, of doing it all together, and then it just didn't shake out that way. And so my dad took full custody of me at that point, you know, due to her medical situation. And then, so she's always been in my life. It's not like I haven't had a mom, but just from a stability factor, my dad was really the one who was there with me every day.
So does it scare you that something like that might happen with either with you or skip you? Or have you looked into it to see if things like that does happen?
Yeah, for a long time. I mean, I've gone in and out of like therapies and stuff. I'm like, I'm not crazy, right? Like, I'm good, right? Like, I'm C5, right? It's fine, right? Or like I do my well woman exam every, you know, year and see the OBGYN and make sure like I'm still viable for children, all those things. So yeah, I think I get like nervous about it, but at the same time I can't like wake up every day worried that I'm gonna turn into my mom.
Yeah, I had to find that out the hard way because my dad, he's an alcoholic, and for many years when I was growing up, I thought that was the dumbest thing ever until someone actually explained to me that alcoholism is a disease, and it still didn't register to me until later in my life. And then I found out it was hereditary. So I drink, but yep. I don't drink like, say, every day or every other day like he does. But when I drink, I mean, I drink, but right. it's when I hardly drink like for the holiday season. Although I didn't have a voice, I was drinking the hell out of some moonshine and it was great. But it's just one of those things that I just try to be real careful that although it is hereditary, yep. I don't just go like crazy behind it like he does. So
yeah, I guess I feel the same way. I mean, those types of disorders like the depression aren't necessarily supposed to be passed down, but I don't think that's necessarily true,
right?
But I just keep an eye on myself, like if I feel like that, you know, things are getting out of hand or you know what I mean, I'm cautious of myself and how I'm acting and how I feel, and like if I feel like things are getting out of control. I also do, like, I have no shame in seeing a therapist on, you know, a regular basis or whenever I need to. I think it's good for everybody regardless to just have an outsider who is not involved in your life to sit down and have a conversation with about either big decisions you have to make or, you know what I mean, like ways you feel. Like, I can sit down and talk to a therapist about something and she's got no weight in anything in my life. She's got none of her own personal opinions. You know what I mean? It's a very healthy opportunity to express yourself and work on things.
Now, earlier, let me just let the listeners know, we actually recorded another segment, but my dumbass didn't check the audio inputs, and that whole thing, we had to scratch it. So this is actually a new recording, but we were actually touching on something that I thought was very important. We was talking about homelessness and how, like, a lot of shelters and different programs, especially the different programs, they only get a lot of volunteers and get a lot of people to come out during the Thanksgiving and Christmas holidays. And after that, you don't really hear much from these programs. And Jasmine was actually talking about something that she's going to be a part of coming Valentine's Day in February. Can you please speak on that? Jasmine? Hello? What? She done hung up the phone? Yep, she done. I done lost this girl. All right. Let me try to call her back. She probably hung it up by accident. She probably going to text me and say, oh my God, I messed up. I'm so sorry. Let me call her back. She probably hit the phone off by accident or something. Or maybe it was something that I said. I don't know. Maybe my voice sounds real crazy. I don't know. Let me see. Let me call her back. Maybe I sound like a monster. She ain't like that. I hope I get to do my mixtape this Friday. Jeez, my voice sounded so crazy. I probably just got to play music and not talk. Okay, there she go.
We are having a tough time with the technology today.
I don't know. My part is fine. It was still on, and I'm like, I don't know what happened. So I ain't taking a fall for that one.
I was just holding the phone.
Who you got service with?
I don't think I was doing anything different.
Who you got service with?
Verizon.
Oh, maybe that's the point. Yeah. So anyway.
No. Yeah, nah.
I was telling the listeners that you was actually invited to do something this coming February that I think that we should let them know about.
Yes, yes. So I'm a girlfriend of mine, Cindy Boynton, who's out of Chicago, has a nonprofit called Pretty Little Purses. And there's actually an article up on FemCon. I can give you a link if you want to read more about her organization. But what she does is she collects purses and items and fills the purses with these common items that most of us take for granted. Things like chapstick, you know, Kleenex, those really cool, what are those, wet wipes. Things like this that we all commonly have with us. And what she does is actually donates them to homeless shelters in the Chicago area. And the way she had come up with this idea actually is she was out one day. So I actually met her when I lived in Arizona. We worked together. So she had moved to Chicago, and she was walking down the street in the winter, and there was this homeless woman who was out asking for change. And she realized that she only had maybe like 75 cents on her, but she had a pocket full of like random things. I think she had like a chapstick, a cough drop, like, and some change. And so she opened her hand to the woman, and the woman was like, "Oh, I'll take all of it."
Mm-hmm.
And Cindy was kind of taken aback and was like, "Why would you want like, you know, some punk ass used chapstick and like one cough drop?" And the homeless woman was like, "No, like I'm out here with nothing. You know what I mean? And I'll take all of it." And it really resonated with Cindy that, you know, we're all looking for ways to help and to support, especially women in homelessness, in homeless situations. And there's so many standard, regular things that we have with us all the time that we take for granted that these women could actually really use. So she started this organization. They had their first successful drive this December. She collected, I believe, around 50 filled purses from 4 or 5 different states around the United States. Mm-hmm. So now on Valentine's Day, we are actually going to be hosting a Galentine's Day event. So there'll be food and drinks and all that stuff. And the price of admission to get into the event will be to bring, you know, purses and items that will then be donated to homeless women in the Chicago area.
But you know what's funny? We see homeless people, male, female, sometimes children, and it never dawns on you that a homeless female would like have a period. It's not something that I would think about. It's just like, I just look like, damn, that's fucked up. If I have something in my pocket, I'll help out. But you never ever think, oh damn, I wonder if she got her period today, which is so crazy.
Right. Well, and for, you know, I think that's the other thing is, you know, not only part of why we're doing this event for Valentine's instead of around the holidays is because, you know, these women in need things all year. And I know there's this surge around the holidays, and that's amazing. But we also need to be mindful that, you know, these people need things. And there's a lot of great ways for us to be giving to them. That's not just, oh, I have cash on me right now.
Right.
Especially through things like donation. And so to come back to your comment about women getting their periods, I personally cannot imagine anything more terrifying than getting my period while being homeless.
Yeah, that's the worst.
Or in poverty. Because let's say you're a woman who's living in poverty. Let's say you probably have, statistically, you have a child or more. And, you know, if you've got a couple bucks, you know, those couple bucks aren't going to tampons and pads. You've got food, you've got kids, you know, who probably need clothes, you probably need. So, you know, this idea that women in really terrible situations still get their periods, they don't get to choose that, and they still have to somehow manage that. And little known fact, most states actually charge an additional luxury tax.
For what?
On menstrual products.
That's just
stupid. Yeah, let that settle in for a second. But menstrual products in most states are not considered to be medical products, so they have an additional tax charged on them.
But at one time I heard that, I don't know if it was Congress or legislation was talking about like female products should be free, period. Like they shouldn't have to pay for that.
Well, so it's state specific. So the Affordable Health Care Act covers some like some birth control and things. So some of that has started to shift a bit. But yeah, there's still a large portion of the United States where if you go and buy, you know, a box of tampons, there's an additional tax put on it. there was a big campaign, I believe, either this year, 2015, against that, and some of the states started to repeal that tax, but because it's at the state level, it has to be done for each state.
That's dumb.
That's insane if you think about it. To be a woman is like, well, I was looking at all these numbers the other day because I do all this research, and something that really stood out to me is when we talk about something like women, you know, well, white women make 78 cents on the dollar to what a man makes. So we've got a wage gap where women actually don't make as much as men do. Traditionally, before the Affordable Health Care Act, women paid more for health insurance because you're considered at risk because you could bear a child. Okay. Now, one of those things the Affordable Health Care Act did was balance out that cost so that men and women are actually paying the same for health insurance. I've actually got this guy on my Facebook who is like super pro Trump and was on this whole rampage about how expensive his health insurance. And I was thinking to myself, like, you have no idea how much I've been paying for health insurance since I was 18 because I could potentially have a child. Meanwhile, I haven't had a child. So all that money was just wasted. But as long as you're not paying for it, I guess no one cares. Then we've got women don't make as much. They have to pay more for health insurance. We have to pay more for feminine products because we can't pick and choose getting our periods. We just get them and have to roll with it. And then you look at other statistics, like women are 35% more likely to live in poverty or be homeless than men are. So it's like all these numbers seem very distant and unrelated, but the reality is if you put women in a situation where we can't make enough money to survive in a world that's getting more expensive by the day, and then you charge us more for having vaginas, like, yeah, it's going to be pretty hard to survive that.
But how many women know of, like, all the information that you're now sharing with us? Because I'm pretty sure a lot of women don't know.
Oh, that's like the biggest game of all, and that is largely what happens. But luckily, we're coming into a time in the world where, you know, communicating information has gotten easier and easier and easier, because I think that is, you know, part of the problem is that, you know, women have just constantly been told, well, you just whatever, take what comes. Well, you just manage it. Right. I think birth control is actually a really good example of that. Women have been saying that birth control causes emotional instability since the day birth control started. And what were we told? We're crazy, we're sensitive, we're overly emotional, it's probably us. I've had doctors...
Don't forget the B word, because a lot of, you know, males and females use that too. I'm not saying it. I'm just going by what I hear, so...
Wait. What are you hearing?
The B word. When you was mentioning emotional, crazy, yeah.
Oh, bitch.
Yeah. I don't really like using it, so.
Well, and here's the deal. Sometimes we are, but if you're looking at a doctor saying, I feel like ever since you put this birth control implant in my arm, I keep having these dreams about burning buildings down, and I'm super happy about it.
Damn.
Like, and you're sitting there with your doctor like, I feel like maybe this isn't working for me. And the doctor's like, no, it's probably just you. No, I feel like maybe these hormones you're pumping me with are not having a great effect with my body.
But it doesn't affect everybody the same way, right?
It doesn't. But this is something that women have been saying since at least the 60s. Now, for the first time, they did a study to see what the link between birth control and depression is. Right. Guess when they did that study?
Wow. 2015. Wow. This is something that they should have known a long time ago. I mean,
there's no funding. There's no research. No one gives a shit. So if women come back and say, hey, this isn't working for us, it's okay, too bad. Sit down. We gave you something. Be quiet and take that. And then they did their first trial this year with men in birth control. Every single man in that test trial dropped out due to emotional instability.
Damn. And you can't say, well, the other option is use condoms, because some females are allergic to condoms. So you can't even use, like, another option. I mean, the only other option is, like they say, masturbating and just don't have sex. But,
yeah,
I mean, everybody has a choice.
My aunt and I were just talking about that because, you know, I won't get back on a birth control. I've spent most of my life on birth control, and so I've you know, I've run the gamut on trying these different things and finding something that works well enough. But the reality is my body doesn't like it. And for where I'm at in my life, I'm just not interested in going through what it takes to get back on a birth control. And so I've chosen to not. But my aunt was teasing me and she was like, yeah, but like your vagina doesn't like condoms, does it? Right. I was like, nope.
Exactly.
So it is a hard situation. So it's like you don't want to get on the birth control because it's got such bad side effects. But then using a condom, like, yeah, my vagina hates that. Yeah. So it's, yeah.
A female friend of mine is like that.
Well, actually, I recently found this female-run company that makes condoms that are supposed to be, I think it was called Sustain. I'll have to look it up. But they make condoms that are supposed to be vagina friendly.
Really?
And so that would be something I'd be interested in trying. Yeah, because remember, here's the other thing. It's not like people haven't been saying forever. It's like I'm the first woman to ever say my vagina is going to freak out if we use a condom. I mean, I still will, and then I'll just handle whatever like comes after. But
right.
I'm not the first woman to say that. But no one's putting funding or effort or money into trying to make that different for women.
So it's like they can't and don't care, pretty much.
That's how I feel. I mean, I do feel like the tides are starting to turn. I mean, I've met more female CEOs this year than ever in my life, and I'm very proud of that. Because the more women get involved in steering things, the more things are friendly for women because, you know, because we're thought of.
Yeah, yeah, this is true. Well, who knows? Maybe with Trump in office, things may change. It may be for the better.
Yeah. I'm gonna hold my breath on that one.
Let me ask you this, right? Now, we're about to close out 2016. We're going into 2017. We've lost a lot of people in entertainment. Like, I know it's the inevitable things like that happens. But like, what are your thoughts on 2016? Like, what are some of the highs and lows?
That's a tough one. I think this year, and I was just having this conversation, I think, with my dad the other day. Like, I can't tell if more people have just died this year or if we just are so much more inundated with media this year that we're more aware of it than we have been other years. But it just feels like every time we turn around, someone is dying.
Yeah, you're definitely right. A lot of people is so inundated into media. It's like, wow, like, they may see a picture on Twitter of someone and they automatically think, oh my God, don't tell me this person died. And it's like so many other things have happened in 2016. Like this, I'm not gonna lie to you. 2016 for me was a damn good year. I mean, I vacationed like crazy. I got fired from my job. It's just been the best thing ever. Like, I enjoyed the hell out of 2016, but a lot of people don't see it that way. So I don't know.
I
mean, then Trump got elected.
I wouldn't say
that
I had a terrible year. I think for me personally, 2016 was a good year. I mean, I think most of us are pretty concerned about the fact that Trump was elected president this year. I mean, those are real concerns for what's about to happen to our future, especially for people of color, especially for women, especially for those who don't subscribe to sexually, quote unquote, straight lifestyle. Right. I don't know that, you know, Trump's vision for America leaves a lot of room for the rest of us. So I think that's really what's colored 2016 as being like this terror of a year, is because I don't think that the bulk of us in the United States didn't believe that he could actually get elected, and he did.
Yeah.
So I think that's really tanked our perceptions. But I would also agree with you to the point of like, let's not let that, you know, let's not take that and make it and scrap the whole year, right? I think all in all, for me personally and professionally, this has been a really great year. I feel like I found my voice and who I am more this year than probably any previous.
And that's the beautiful thing. That's the beautiful thing right there. There's so many people year after year who are afraid. They have passions and things that they want to try, things that they want to do, and they're so afraid to do it or even try That's what holds them back. So year after year, you may have some years for them that's great, some years that are like just real horrible. But like you said, you found your voice. I found my voice. Well, not today, but I found my voice.
Like, but you got it. You know where it's at.
Exactly. Like, this is like the best year ever. I'm doing what the hell I want to do. I'm my own boss. I make my own rules. And I'm on different platforms on how I do it. And look, right. I feel great, man. I feel great. I just wish a lot more people, not only next year, the year after that, start today, start tomorrow. If there's something that you want to do, yeah, just jump out the window and do it, man. Just do it.
Yeah, just go for it. Well, and I think that's the thing you find is that you can plan all you want. And I mean, you should plan, right? Planning is a very valuable exercise. But the reality is if you just run and jump and leap yourself into something, it almost forces you to stay. I mean, there's been plenty of days.
Uh-oh. She disappeared again. Where's this girl at? Yep, she disappeared again. I gotta call her back. This is bad. This is bad. This is bad. The phone system is just, I don't know. But here's what's funny. I'm not even on my phone calling her. I'm calling her from a Google system. So I can't say it's this system. And this number's blocked, so she can't call right back. But let me call her right back and see what's going on. She gonna say it was me. I swear she gonna say it was me. It is not me at all.
Uh-oh. All right, that might be me.
See,
I'm in a basement, so you're right. I might be losing service.
I was just telling everybody she probably gonna think it's me.
No, I think you're right because I'm pacing around a basement. So I think you're right. Maybe there may be a dead spot, so I'm gonna stand real still. Anyways, what I was saying was, you know, this year there's been, or I've only had, I guess, the femalecondition.com's been live for 5 months. And there's been times or weeks or days where I was just pooped or like just wasn't into it, just needed a break. And if people end up holding you accountable, whether they mean to or not, because there's such an influx of people sending me stuff or calling me or asking me or, hey, have you met so-and-so, or you should interview this person, or, you know, I've had even one thing, I think my favorite thing that's happened recently is that I've got a bunch of female family members who've actually reached out to me for recommendations for period products.
Oh, nice. And so okay.
Yeah, so it's kind of one of those things where it's like you know, even when I get days where I'm like, you know what? I don't need to work 12 hours a day. I need to sit down and like be done. And it's like something happens. I'm like, all right, I could work a couple more hours. Like I could do a little more today, you know?
Yeah. One thing that I did discover besides like starting my own platform and being a part of other platforms, I've noticed that I have like a small passion in helping people get ahead, helping people get started, helping people to advance in different like parts of their passions and their careers and stuff like that. So I think I'm going to focus a little bit more next year on that. I'm just not about being verbal. My thing is if you have ideas or things that you want to work on, I go like sometimes above and beyond, not financially, but sometimes I go above and beyond and I'll verbally push the hell out of you until, you know, you get it started or something. But I've been told many times too, like, stop being so passionate into what people are not doing. If they don't want to do it, that's on them. So I got to balance it out, but I'm going to most definitely start looking into seeing if I can help more and more people and
being a pusher. Yeah, yeah. I think too, you just got to find people who are hungry for that. Like find people who, you know, like I know I've got a circle around me that they know what my goals are. And so when I start to screw up, so for example, my aunt manages my finances.
Right.
So I have to check in with her like and be accountable for my financial goals. Like, you know what I mean? I set the goals. We talk about how to get to them, how to achieve them. And then, you know, I got to come back to her. And then it's like, she does get hard on me about stuff. And then, but I appreciate it. You know, I'm not always happy with her,
Yeah. But
I appreciate it. Cause I've asked for her to be that role in my life, because I know if I'm left alone with my money, I will have them.
Yeah.
So I
most definitely want to see, you know, if I can do my part and, you know, helping people out. Like I said to you before, you know, this platform is also your platform. You know, we're going to talk about different things every week, and the most beautiful thing out of this whole thing is to get people to just tune in, listen, be well educated. Yeah. And just look, I'm here. Just holler at me. Let me
know. I think that's good. I think too, like when I moved to New York, this is my third year in New York. When I moved there, I was like, this is it. Like, I'm gonna be a titan in business. I'm gonna get a corporate job. I'm gonna climb my way up to being a vice president and then a CEO. Like, that's my path. And I, man, like, my life could not be more different today than it was. I think once I put myself in that position and I started, like, really pushing myself to climb, it just made me realize how much I don't want to just make more money. Right. How much I don't want to, like, I started looking at it, realizing, like, do I want to make more money? Hell yeah.
Right.
But I want to make it in a way where my life is something that I'm happy with, where something that I'm proud of, where I'm doing things, you know, that make me feel good. So when I tuck myself into bed at night, I'm like, damn, today was a good day. And don't get me wrong, I think there's a lot of value in certain aspects of corporate life. And I think some people actually really thrive in that. But what I've more so learned about myself is, like, I would rather keep a moderate income and write full time or work on, you know, and do, like, all of these things that I'm doing right now. I don't make any money off the female condition. Like, I don't make these Galentine's events and stuff that I'm hosting that I'm a part of. I don't make any money off of that. It's pure time that I can commit, and then the donations go to people who need it. But to me, like, I'm so much happier in those circumstances. My days are so much better that it just seems like that's a fit for me.
There you go. There you have it, Miss Jasmine.
Ooh, so the other thing I did want to talk about before we're done.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I've been on a bit of a tirade on the female condition Instagram with different, not only facts about vaginas, because I think it's important, but also there's actually a hashtag running around Instagram, things that look like vaginas.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's just all sorts of things in nature and flowers and fruit and, like, all sorts of things that actually look a lot like vaginas.
Mm-hmm.
And because I've had a couple of people tell me recently that I say the word vagina too much, or that I talk about vaginas too much. And I was actually just in the car with my 14-year-old cousin, and she put in her headphones.
Oh, my goodness.
Because it was too much.
So wait, people say you talk about vaginas and you say the word vaginas too much? That's what they're saying?
Yep. Yeah, and you know, I think it's a couple things. Like, one, I'm obviously a huge champion of women's health. So I think the more we normalize, like, yes, we have vaginas. Yes, you know, they have hair on them. They bleed. Like, these are all very natural things. We shouldn't make them gross. But the other thing is, though, you know, when I was growing up, my parents taught me that my vagina was called a cookie.
Okay.
And that's not just, it's just not a great way to go through life. It's definitely not a good thing to teach, like, a little girl, because it's confusing.
You know what? I'm not going to lie to you. Like, when my daughter was coming up, her mom always taught her vagina, penis. I remember.
Perfect.
I was taking a piss, and she was small, and she was crawling. And she said, Daddy, why when you pee, you stand up? And I got to sit down. And that's when I broke everything. They call it the birds and bees. I don't call it that shit. I broke everything down to her. And I told her every name out there possible for male and female anatomy. And I've always liked the word pussy. I never really liked vagina. Vagina just seemed, I don't know, white to me. I don't know. Like, it's white. Like, a white person made that up. I always like pussy because,
well,
to me, that's
we're
general.
We're talking in health terms. We're talking about health terms. Vagina.
Oh, like,
I mean, I would never be sexting with a guy and be like, yeah, I can't wait till you touch my vagina later. Actually, maybe I might actually do that just because it would be funny.
I usually say box. Like, box can be anything. Like, yo, oh, so you gave your boyfriend some box? Like, I'll just say that. Or
it could be a Christmas present.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yo, did you shave your box? Like, I just say something real general. But, like, I have female friends, like, that would say, like, that just sounds so disgusting. I'm like, it's just box. Like, it's the word box. Like, and even with guys, like meat. I won't say dick or penis, but like, yo, she touched my meat. She grabbed my meat. Like, it's really no big deal. But some people sometimes just make big deal out of, I don't know, vagina.
That's
wrong. True. Vagina. Vagina.
Well,
so
I think
basic.
We just don't. It's like, you know, dick is such a common phrase. You'd hear somebody say the word dick and you wouldn't even turn around. Or somebody said the word vagina, like,
Yeah, exactly.
All of a sudden, the room stops because everybody is. Well, and I've had other commentary, too, about the female condition, the Instagram, like, well, you know, if you want male followers, you should probably talk about vaginas less. And I was like, yeah, how about I just talk about what I'm trying to talk about and whoever thinks they can follow.
Look, people going to say whatever the hell they want to say. Even family, you do you. If they don't like it, there's other platforms that they can follow. They don't have to follow your platform.
True. They don't have to. And here's the thing. I personally want to be the person who says vagina so much that it makes other people uncomfortable. I'm cool with that. Because yeah, right. I think we need to do better. The fact that that's a word that people are upset by or frustrated with.
Exactly.
Like, to me, it's like saying the word arm. Like, would you get freaked out if I said the word arm? No. The only reason why you're getting freaked out about the word vagina is because it's not deemed socially acceptable to talk about. But guess what? I have one. I was given it. I didn't sign up. There were no paperwork. It just got handed to me.
There you go.
So now we're going to talk about it.
Yep. That's it. Whoever don't like them, like I say, lick ass. They ain't got to follow you. And that's it. It's over with. Come on now. We cannot end 2016 on some bullshit. And even if we have
we
to,
can't.
We're going to continue with some bullshit. That's it. It's over. Ms. Duke, again, another fabulous week. Yes?
Yeah.
Oh, she's
absolutely.
Still
there? Okay. I will. Sorry, I was trying not to cough into the thing. It always ruins the vibe.
Oh, it's all right. Just put your phone on mute real quick, cough, bow, and then come back. That's it. I've been doing that this whole time.
I will talk to you next
year.
Wednesday then.
Next year. Yeah, I'll be speaking to you next year.
Oh, geez, next year.
Yep, next year. Oh, damn, that's my car alarm going off. You hear that in the background?
Still in New York, I see.
Yeah. So I got to go
outside. All right, you have a great day.
Yes, you too. I got to go outside and see who the hell messed with my car. Anyway, thank you so much again, Ms. Duke.
All right. See you soon.
All right. Bye. And folks, there you have it. Ms. Jasmine Duke, femalecondition.com, jasminduke.com. Make sure you follow her. Look, I'm going to go outside, see what the hell's going on in my damn car. I'm going to try to rest my voice. If I have enough heart, I'll be back here tomorrow. If not, I'll see y'all for my year-end mixtape. Start from scratch. Kurt Sparks. Peace.